playoff.
Is that the last one? That was fun last night. I had the honor of marrying them last night and performing the ceremony, and it was a great night. It was fun. They're great people, and we love them so much. The Marked Ones Conference, again, I'm Ron Wilson, pastor of Connections here at the church, and Youngry people, young at heart and hungry. And this Marked Ones event is going to be a big deal. And John Chapman and I were talking earlier this week, and he said he had a dream kind of about this. So I thought it'd be great if he just shared that this morning.
You know, I don't have a lot of God dreams, and but lately I have been having a lot of God dreams, which is awesome. And recently, probably a couple weeks ago, I had a dream about the Marked Ones event. And I can't lie to you, I'm really not involved in any level other than maybe a few announcements that I'm going to give at the event. So I haven't been involved in the planning or anything like this. But I know the heart behind it. And the heart behind it is one of seeing people revived in their walks with Jesus, seeing people come to Christ. That's the heart. And the dream was I was right over here in the church, and ran up on stage to be involved in the the prayer time before worship began. And as I ran up here, and I guess I started praying. I can't remember honestly, but I was up here, and the Spirit of God in a true wave came across the stage, and physically, like I had to, it like moved me across the stage, and it was an amazing to me, an amazing picture of what God's going to do at the Marked Ones event. And if you haven't done your homework in terms of what this event is about, what God's doing in the hearts of the people in our church, in the hearts of the people that are leading this event, if you haven't done your homework on the speakers that are coming, this is a time that God is going to move mightily, and I do believe that the Spirit of God is going to meet with us as a church, with whoever comes, in a way that it's just going to be a wave that literally we just get soaked in God's presence. I believe that. So I'm going to encourage you this morning. My family and I are coming, and I encourage you, please sign up. It's going to be an amazing time. And, you know, I can't remember who prayed, but we are chosen. You know, we are marked. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And there's a mark, you know, in all of us, there's a mark. He wants us. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to fall more in love with him. And that is what this event is about. So please sign up today. It's cheap, and for what you're going to get, it's amazing. So cheap price.
Cheap price. Great value.
Yeah, you're great value.
Mr. Marketing Man, great value. Thanks, John. You know, as part of our DNA in this church, and many of you have been here a whole lot longer than me, you know, this DNA of this church is God's presence and desiring the supernatural realness of God. And if you've seen what's been going on these last few weeks and months, I mean, people are getting healed physically, emotionally. God is showing up. People's lives are being changed. And we just want more of that. So we just believe this is going to be a real catalyst for revival, to promote and further the revival that's already begun in this area. So please come and join in. It'll be better with you here. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor. Amen. Thank you.
What time
it's Thursday.
Start? 7 p.m.
Thursday. We're going to go ahead and release our children back to Children's Church. If you're a guest here today, right back in the foyer. This is for 3-year-olds up to 5th grade, and it's a great time to bless our young ones. And we have people that are children's team who really loves young people and wants them to know Jesus for themselves personally. So if you want to go ahead and take your young one back in the foyer and register them, we appreciate that. As you saw in your bulletin today, we're focused on, we've been going through a series of whys, and today we're talking about why worship. Of course, when I was sitting here, I was thinking, why not? I mean, what an awesome God. It's like Reinhard Bonnke says, when he shares and I don't know if you know who he is, he's a world evangelist, and he says when he gets done sharing, he goes, it's like, what can keep you away from Jesus? So it's not a matter of why should we come to God. It's like, what's keeping us away from him? He's so awesome. As you know, last week we had a guest ministry, Ralph Howe. And for those who don't know yet, the word that he shared for us as a church, and that's on our website. It's mymcclife.org, which is also on the bulletin. Tells you how to get there. Just a couple clarifications. He talked about us going back to our roots. Well, this, most of you were not here and when those roots began. But I will tell you this. If we talk about a couple of roots of who we are as a church, for those who were here, those and the rest of you aren't, just to clarify what that means. That doesn't mean going back to what we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. The roots of our church were that we're people who basically prayed and sought after God, what are you doing and what are you saying? And then we did it. That's really what it was. What are you doing out there? What's going on? We don't get locked in. You know, I was thinking, you know, we basically have had the same beliefs we had since this church began. We haven't really changed our beliefs. We've changed our methods. And, you know, the reality is if we're going to reach a people that's never been reached, that means we got to do things that we've never done. And that's going to mean there's some stretching going to happen. They said typically the older a church gets, the less people they reach because they get stuck in a method. And they wanted to do it the way they've always done it. And you're going to reach a few, but you're not going to reach as many. So what it means, as I heard, is that we need to be spiritually flexible. And as long as we're going to line stuff up with Scripture. We're going to make sure it's God, and we're not, you know, out to do things that's unscriptural. But the thing is we want to do what God wants to do. And Jesus, when he came, he stretched the religious system. He stretched it because he was doing things that were different. And I believe God is going to do that, but his purpose is to reach a lost. When I was praying, I think it was Friday, I was listening, just watching some Christian videos and stuff, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how are we going to reach this? And this is what I saw, and I believe this is for every single person. You know, we don't believe there's an elite people that God is just going to work through. We believe it's every single person that calls on the name of Jesus Christ that God wants to reach through them to this world. And what I saw, I said, God, how are we going to reach the people? What I saw, it was like this giant hand just came out of right here inside of us and reached out. And that's for every one of us, that God is going to reach through you. And if you're not letting that hand of God reach through you, then there's somebody that's not going to get touched that you're around. God has you in a specific place. Don't think that, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Maybe. Maybe. You know, maybe not. But God has a specific place for you in this season of your life that he wants you to allow him to reach through you out to a world that needs us. You know, there's 4-point-something billion people on the face of the earth right now going to hell. Hell is a reality. Life and death. You know, we get into just almost like a pretend, like, well, as long as everything's okay, there is no judgment. There's no eternity. But there is. There's a reality. There is eternity. So let him reach through you. And let us be what God wants to do and reach and see what he's doing. We have 3 people that's going to share today. And I'm not sure which one's going first. Is it Diane or Steve? Whichever one wants to come up first. I asked Mike, Curtis, and Gene. I said, you know, we want to share about worship, why we should be a worshiping people. And I asked them to start working on putting together a group, them or whoever. And Mike is the one who felt that these 3 prayed, and Mike and Gene, and said, well, I got some people I would like us to share. So we're going to welcome these ones. And as Mike and as Steve and Diana and Jeremy Davis is going to be sharing today about why we should be a worshiping people. So let's welcome them as they share. Let's listen to what God wants to say.
I guess, yeah. Okay, I got kind of shocked at this morning. I knew I was going to be sharing, but I didn't realize when I was going to be sharing all this, so bear with me. When Mike asked me about sharing with worship, I kind of thought, well, what do I want to share? Because I personally have been a part of worship for a long time, and I have my own definition, I guess, of worship. I'm going to share that with you a little bit. Since I was a child, I've been raised up in what we might call the performing arts, or we would call maybe the ministering arts. So my parents put me in the Christmas play, you know, where you learn the part of the whatever, the little shepherd boy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I went from there and went on up into singing in the church choir and was part of that for a long time, even into my older age. And then, you know, I've moved around from various places and got involved at a church here in Marion. I played the part of Jesus in the Easter play for a couple of years. That was quite an interesting experience. wow, was that an interesting experience. It's very humbling at times. If I sit back and think about it sometimes, I'm like, wow, that was just to be in that place once in your life. Oh, my. That's a whole story. If you want to sit down and talk about it, we can. I'm not going to do that now. I've been in part of worship bands, just like what I'm doing here, several different ones over the years, and I've learned a lot of music. I've learned a lot about music. I've learned a lot about singing and all of that kind of stuff, and that's been worship. And if you ask most people, I think, what is worship, that immediately goes to music. And that's what most of us probably think about what worship is. Being on a worship team, it's all about music. Well, there's a lot more to it. And I'm going to share a few things with you. Several years ago, I started to learn how to some martial arts. I don't know if you know what Aikido is. If you're not sure, get a Steven Seagal movie, watch it. That's the martial arts that he's using in there. So during one of my lessons, they had a time where a 10-year-old boy was going to be promoted up to the next belt level. And if you're not familiar with martial arts, you get a different color belt. And you go through a progression all the way up into a black belt if you're that dedicated to it. But during this ceremony with this young man, they asked him some questions that he had to know about Aikido before he could be promoted up to the next level. And during that time, one of the questions that they asked him, the instructor was messing with him, and he asked him, he said, you know, he's asking these questions rapid fire, and the kid was answering them one right after the other, and he goes in, what's the meaning of life? And you can imagine the look on this 10-year-old kid's face. He was like, I don't know what, you know. So they giggled, they laughed, and they moved on. So how many of you want to know what the meaning of life is? Good. We'll get back to that after a while. I got a few other things I want to share with you. Some of the things that I've seen, even in this church and many of the other churches that I've been raised up in, is that we take the time and we raise money to send different ones out on mission trips. We've got ones that from here that have gone on to Mexico. There have been ones that have gone. We raised money for a goat project several years ago, and my wife and I were in South Africa, and we gave some money and donated some goats to some people. We've raised money to give Bibles out to different ones that go to different nations out in the world. And this is what I think worship, part of worship is. This is just one form, is that we give of our tithes, we give of our offerings, and we give our mind, our money in order to go out and share the gospel out into the various nations, even in your own home backyard where we have different things. We had a festival out here in the parking lot to raise some money to send some people to Mexico to minister. So that's part of what I think worship is. I heard a story from a godly man here a few years ago, and he was talking about how he, at his job, this man came in and wasn't very happy about not being treated the way he thought he should have been treated. So he went to this guy's supervisor, and he started telling lies, this lying liar that was lying to the supervisor, and he was accusing him of all these things. And the one thing that came out about this whole thing that really caught my attention and still does today is when this supervisor sat there and he listened to all these accusations this man was coming up with, he said, well, if you had been talking about anybody else in this workplace, I might have believed you. However, the man that you're accusing of, I know. And I know because of reputation, he did not do the things that you are accusing him of and exonerated him from the whole thing. Living life out loud for Jesus, that's worship. That's not just what we do here. It's not what we do at our homes. It's what we do outside in our workplace, what we're doing at Walmart when we're just shopping and somebody bumps into us and we could be angry about that and, you know, cuts us off out in the traffic. We could be living life out loud for Jesus. That's a great way to worship. So in closing, we'll get back to what one of the first questions about the meaning of life. It's very simple. Jesus told us what it was. And if you look in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, we know that Jesus referred back to the Old Testament, the Torah that he learned from. So we know that also in Deuteronomy 10, 12, this same concept is where he's referring to this from. But it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. This is what he called us to worship, how he called us to worship, the call to love one another. That's what he said, love one another. But love God first. Love him with all your heart. That's what I think worship is. Thank you.
So, Pastor Perry, are we, are the three of us, like we're the message today? Oh. See, I thought we were like the precursor to the message. So anyway, my remarks are pretty short, but I am like the ultimate student. And so if you give me an assignment, I will prepare notes and all of that. So I'm going to do something that's out of my comfort zone, and I'm just going to share something that from the Bible, there are three circumstances of worship that just stand out for me that I think this is what worship is before God. And one of them that comes to mind immediately is David dancing before the Lord with wild abandon. He loved God, and he didn't care what anybody else thought, because he loved God so much that any other love was just, you know, shrunk by example. And if you ever watch me, you know, physically dance, I know that can be like a metaphor, but I'm not a trained dancer. And so I'm really sorry if you don't like to watch me. That's sincere. I am sorry. But it's how I'm loving God at that moment, and it's my worship for him. And I'm so thankful of a lot of the bondage that I've come out of, that it's just like, you know, the shackles are gone and the restraint is gone. And so that's one way that I worship God, is physically in the dance. Another example that just makes me want to cry every time I think about it is the widow woman. When she brought that little bit that she had, she gave everything. Everything. And she laid it there. She was so unpretentious in the way she came to God. And, you know, it was like, after I give this, I have no idea what is going to happen to me. She gave her whole life. That's what the bios that she gave, that's what that's interpreted as. You know, she left it there. And, you know, so the heart response is, God, now what are you going to do with what's left? And that's true worship. And that's what that's the way I want to worship, just leaving it all behind, just laying it down. And the last example is that woman, that sinful woman, that's the way she's described in the scripture, that she has the alabaster jar. And there's a party going on, and, you know, she knows Jesus is inside, and he's eating, and I think she knows about him. And the people in the town know her reputation, and she's a sinful woman, and she's brought the most precious thing that she can think of. And that's this jar that's filled with this precious oil, and she breaks it, and she anoints Jesus. And not only does she use what's considered expensive by the world standards, but she humbles herself, because just when she walks in that door, she could be thrown out. She could have, you know, they could have hurled these insults at her, and actually, I'm sure they did. But she cried. It was her tears that, you know, cleansed Jesus' feet. And she took her hair down, and that's what she dried his feet with. I mean, she was just, she gave it all. She had, you know, there was, at that point, no fear within her. It's like, what's anybody else going to do at this point? I'm just laying it all down. And, you know, when I worship, my life changes. It can be small circumstances, or it can be the walking out of the rest of my life, my destiny. When I worship, it changes things. Thank you.
Before I begin, yesterday at the wedding, someone left these glasses there. If they belong to you, they'll be right here. If they don't, they'll be right there. Mike Curtis asked me last week if I would speak on why we worship, why to worship. And I'm going to begin with, why don't we worship? As kind of Steve alluded to there, why don't we worship? And, you know, it's not that we don't worship because of reasons, it's we don't worship because of excuses. Like, too tired, or I had a bad week, or God just hasn't felt real to me lately. Or sin. You know, right now I'm just not worthy of God. Right. We should start a club. Okay? Maybe meet on Sundays. Just a thought. But we know the Psalms and we hear the Psalms and we think of David as this wonderful worshiper, which he was. But there were times when even David didn't want to worship. He didn't feel like it. And so if you would turn with me to Psalm 103, and sorry folks, but I'm going to read this in the King James today. In the King James, it starts, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." All right. Simple sentence structure here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless. It's a verb. It's a call to action. What's it calling us to do? Well, I looked it up. In the Hebrew, it's Barak. That is not the name of our president. That is Barak. All right. And it means to kneel. O my soul. Okay, now it's a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's telling his soul. Now the soul, I also looked that up, it's not Obama, it's nefesh. And nefesh means self or desire, passion, appetite, and emotion. So David was instructing his desires and his passions and his self and everything within him to submit, to fall in line with the will of God. In John 4, we're not going to turn here, but in John 4, Jesus is speaking with the Samaritan woman. He says that true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. And that's the kind of worship he seeks. The soul that David was speaking to is the seat of our emotions and feelings. And Angie, if you would, please. Essentially, our soul is our inner terrible two-year-old. Do you have the slide? There you go. That's what the soul says when it's the I don't wanna. It's the I don't wanna get out of bed. It's the I don't wanna go to work. I don't wanna pay my bills. I don't wanna be responsible. I don't wanna worship God. That's the soul speaking. It's second only to the flesh in following its desires and not what God wants. And so David knew that too. And so he knew that it would take some convincing. And so after the command, and I'm going to go ahead and read this out of Psalms. But it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." There's a lot of blessing here. I'm going to kneel, okay? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Because the soul is so weak, and David knew that, he knew it was going to take some convincing. He was going to have to actually list off for reasons why we should do this, why we should worship. "Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And down in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." 10 through 12, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Praise God for that, right? "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Again, praise God for that. And down to verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works." Jesus even said himself, if they weren't praising, even the stones would cry out. all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I would encourage everyone here, read that chapter. I skipped some, but read that chapter. And don't just read it, but pray that chapter this week sometime, because that's the heart of worship right there. That is, to me, the heart of worship. In Hebrews 13:15, the author talks about offering continually a sacrifice of praise. And, doggone it, in Mark 12, we're going to get a little rerun, that's okay. And verses 41 through 44. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. I used to think that was just about money. But it really isn't. Because God wants all of us. He wants the best that we have to offer out of our abundance and out of our weaknesses. And out of our strengths and out of our lack, he wants everything that we have. He wants all of it. He wants, I'm not going to read Psalms again, but really we owe that to him. I mean, of all the things that he's done for us, why would we not want to give back? So, if we have the musicians back up and the personal ministry team as well. I put in a request with my friend Ryan for one more song. But as they play, and again, the personal ministry teams will be up here, but there will be space in between these teams, okay? And it's an open invitation for the space in between. And like, this has been a really good worshipy day, because we kind of hit on this a little bit earlier today. Thank you. I don't know if you knew that, but you did. But in the space between, come, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, there's room up here to just fall. Be on your face. Be, you know, I call that FaceTime with God. But just be on your knees and just offer that sacrifice of praise. Yes, sir. And, of course, the personal ministry team, team workers, they'll pray for you for whatever you need, whatever physical needs you have in your life, whatever spiritual needs you have in your life, and all those things. And if you don't know who this Jesus character is that we keep talking about, they can introduce you to him, too. So I'd welcome anyone and everyone. Like I said, the front is wide open. I'll leave it to you.